Just a brief note before we begin. We all love a good ghost story, but it's worth mentioning that this particular ghost story comes with a violent true crime attached. Take care of yourselves, and listener discretion advised. Green Lake is one of Seattle's most beloved parks, a space to picnic, to swim, to relax from the hardships and bustle of urban life. The lake itself has rested there for over 50,000 years, ever since glaciers carved through the rocky western earth. It's the sort of place where you can feel the history in the very shape of the land. And sometimes, there by the water's edge, history takes on a different form. That of a woman, shimmering and translucent, weeping into her hands. Sylvia Gaines had her whole life ahead of her. The year was 1926, and she had just graduated from Smith College. Born and raised in Massachusetts, Sylvia had lived a gentle enough life. Sure, she was a child of divorce, but she'd only been 5 when her parents had split and had grown up on the East Coast with her loving single mother ever since. By the time Sylvia was 22, she could already see her bright future shimmering in front of her. She was beautiful, smart, well-educated, and even had some family members in prominent positions in city government. But there was one piece of unfinished business that had been nagging at Sylvia, and she decided it was finally time to address it. And so she packed up, headed west, and steeled herself to spend time with her father. Now, after her parents had separated, Sylvia's father Bob had moved all the way out to Seattle. So she honestly barely knew the guy, but this trip was going to change that, she decided. After all, he was family. Fewer than 10 months after her arrival, though, two workmen were walking along Seattle's Green Lake when they found a pair of shoes. Shoes and blood, in a red trail leading right to the lifeless body of Sylvia Gaines. Blame quickly fell upon her father, and on August 2nd of 1926, he was tried for her murder. And to be fair, he did seem, well, pretty suspicious. He'd been seen drunkenly quarreling with her shortly before her death, and in the hours before she was found, he had even said to a friend, and I quote, "You know what I have always told you, that if anyone in my house told me when I should come and go, and when I should drink and how much, why, I would have killed him." Well, that's what happened. Yeah, not a good look, right? And add to this a lot of rumors that there was some sort of an inappropriate relationship between Bob and Sylvia, and all in all, it didn't look good for Mr. Gaines. The trial was a huge deal in Seattle at the time. Bob Gaines was a wealthy, well-respected man, after all. His brother was even the chair of the King County Board of Commissioners. This was a prominent man from a prominent family, and now it looked like he had not only murdered his daughter, but had been involved in an inappropriate relationship with her. So on August 31st of 1928, after 3 hours of deliberation, a jury found Bob Gaines guilty. And although he insisted on his innocence until the end, he was hanged for his crime. Now, in remembrance of Sylvia, the spot where the young woman lost her life became known as Gaines Point, and 30 black cottonwood trees were planted there, allegedly placed there in her honor. And for over 70 years, those trees grew and thrived. They reached toward the sky and lived the kinds of full, healthy lives that Sylvia herself had been robbed of. But time passed. The people of Seattle forgot about the murder and the trial. In fact, they forgot about Sylvia altogether. Eventually, even the cottonwood trees were removed due to the falling limbs. And today, if you were to visit that quiet lakeside spot, you might never know what happened there at all. That is, unless the stories are true. You see, just because Sylvia Gaines' body may be gone, along with her tall grove of cottonwood trees, some say her ghost never left. Visitors have witnessed a young woman walking along the water's edge, racked with sobs. Or at least they think it's a woman. It's hard to tell, because those who come upon the crying figure say that they can see right through her. Still others claim to have seen her pale face peeking out from among the lakeside bushes. A face, that is, with no body attached. This episode of Lore Bites was produced by me, Aaron Mankey, with writing and research by Jenna Rose Nethercott. Lore Bites are a perk offered only to our Patreon and Apple Podcast paid subscribers as a big thank you for such generous support. Look for new episodes of Lore Bites each Wednesday morning. And be sure to follow the show on Threads, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. You could search for Lore Podcast, all one word, and then click that follow button. And when you do, say hi. I like it when people say hi. And as always, thanks for listening.